Merry Christmas, everyone. I want to welcome you to this Sunday's worship podcast on December 27th, 2020, the first Sunday after Christmas. My name is Skylar Rhodes, and I'm delighted to be the pastor at Petaluma United Methodist Church, where we strive together to be an authentic faith community seeking to be in the world as a witness to the love of the child who's born this day. And so I welcome you and invite you to come with us as we call ourselves to worship.
Please join me in the call to worship. In the wake of this birth, we fall on our knees in awe. In the light of the dawn, we cherish the star that has moved on. And in this moment, we are called to worship a God who comes to us as an infant, a God in a cradle. So come, Christian community, let us worship our God in love, hope, and power. As we stand in awe by the stable door, we are called to release our brokenness and lean into the love of the Prince of Peace. We are called to surrender our pride and our egos. We need sisters and brothers to confess our sins. Come, let us pray.
Prayer of confession. Great and marvelous God, we come in this time of hope to offer ourselves in a humble stable where our Lord awaits. The possibilities and promise born with this child are enormous and world-changing. Yet it is difficult for us to embrace and live into this sacred promise. Forgive us, God, for turning away from the incredible news of salvation. Forgive us for sometimes wondering if all this talk of new hope and new life could really be true. Have mercy on us for the difficulty we have in trusting you. Create in us new childlike hearts, we pray. Open in us a willingness to take chances and risks so that this new possibility might emerge in our church, in our world. We ask this, we pray. We pray this in the name of Christ Child.
God's forgiving grace reaches for us all, even and especially in this moment. In the name of the Christ Child, we have been forgiven. Alleluia and amen.
I will be reading from Isaiah 61, verses 10 to 62, verses 3. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth from all the nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her vindication goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see your vindication and all the kings your glory. And you shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will give. And you shall be crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God.
Anong dalesyon ni naman tayo ninday sa kotong manapuli ay siya na wase ono sa bundua. Manitikin ay tini, ipang wala kinurong. Aw na rekita ki chaba pa kain tina na ilonggo. E na rekita ki kuya na nungu kilo. Ni sa baka suli meo ni suli ni bula. Kaya baka si tubi tikiaw ay ni tutubi ni alung dundono. E baka na tangan ni sa baka wati. Sa baka sili ti kuya na ni salapang beti. Apa kena ilah sangka bagawat ini sapa gugur tiga kaya ini gugur tali. Kerana non tali suni, aisyah telaga menawan sapa kerua kini tulu, anggota kini romo. Ia kena yadu misal bagawat kuku ini lingai coba, kini misal bagawat tui ini lingai nom kelu. Tulu non tali suni, aku tak main apa ni kelatia, nawaseba, nanti kini ba. Kena tikine vitu, panguana kena rongo. Ini saya don dina sarana kena ngona. Sangka italaya ni nolubena na klou. Ukwe sa sudu mene lewa. Sa sudu mele ukwe nebunau. Ibuli ira kina sa lewa ira nebunau. Menda pokan bauti kina, menda lubin bau. Lubena bau. Yendo sangka lubena, sa talama na klou, nolubena na elotambu, kina lomanda. Kwa santando kadi kina apatame kimami. Okoya ungo ko sangai sanga kina itamata walenga aluvena nga ye keba ko saluvena ko sangai tokei eno buguni klou ye liu ndo sa sanga nikla na klou do anga revira sa sanga na nonitobu ne klou tengo baba klou ta na klou na nono bosa nda rongo da rawa na kabini nai emeni.
I'm reading from Galatians 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God. This ends the reading.
Good morning, friends. I'm grateful to be with you today and inviting you into a time of sharing and unpacking our sacred text a bit. The title of the sermon today is, Do We Need a Change of Wardrobe? And I would like to invite you to pray with me. Holy God, as we come this day, as we seek together to share a word that will move, inspire, and motivate, may the meditations of our common heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. For you and you alone are our rock and our redeemer. You and you alone are the one to whom we owe allegiance. Amen. So friends, I'm just wondering today, and you don't need to answer in any way other than to yourself, but how many of us really like clothes? You know, I've been told repeatedly over the years that essentially I have no fashion sense. My default is most always to wear plain old comfy stuff, you know, old jeans and a sweatshirt. Nothing you can do, I guess, with an aging hippie, is there? Although I'm going to be honest, I have to confess that on the rare occasions when it could be afforded and when work required, I did really kind of like going out to buy a new suit. You know, we'd go to one of these big department stores, you know, the kind that had a tailor on the premises. Anyone remember these kind of things? I would take my time and find a suit I'd like, and I'd try it on, and the tailor would then mark the pants and sleeves so that they could be adjusted to fit me personally. And I found that pretty awesome. You know, growing up with hand-me-downs and stuff, to actually have a pair of clothing really fit was, But then something happened to me. I had the opportunity to travel to Asia, Singapore, actually, for several weeks of meetings for my job. And I didn't plan on this, but while I was there, I discovered something that I had no idea existed. I discovered that you could go to a tailor and have a shirt and suit custom made. Whoa. And I couldn't believe it. So I went there to check this out. And with three or four very helpful people from the shop, they assisted me in picking out fabric, looking at pictures and styles. And then they took my measurements and I paid them for the suit and for postage. And I was out of there. About 3 weeks after I returned to the U.S., my suit arrived. And it fit perfectly, like a glove. It was amazing. I've never had anything fit me quite as well before or since. Clothing, though, is something for us to think about today, especially in light of the biblical image as we're given it from the reading from Isaiah. I don't think I need to tell you, friends, that since Adam and Eve first covered themselves with fig leaves, we have been creatures who delight in adorning themselves. From cavemen to pharaohs to emperors and royal courts across the globe, there's a long, incredible history of people clothing themselves in extravagant, crazy, and sometimes mind-boggling ways. And of course, in this comes our grappling today with clothing as a metaphor for faith. It runs like a bright, gleaming thread through our history as a people. From the garments of Aaron in the book of Exodus to the Deuteronomic rule saying that men couldn't wear women's clothing or vice versa, the image and metaphor of clothing is everywhere in our sacred text. Paul was especially fond of this as he urged us to put on compassion, or to clothe ourselves in Christ, or to put on the breastplate of righteousness and the helmet of truth. For people like us who are rooted in the Judeo-Christian heritage, these metaphors are not only important, they're really a piece of our human culture. Clothes, as my dad would say, would make the man or the woman. And here in Isaiah, we have God actually getting us dressed, clothing us. What an interesting gnosis. You know, I never did much like when other people tried to tell me what to wear. But here we have God clothing us in the garments of salvation and the robes of righteousness, robes such as a bridegroom might wear. Wow. Isn't that fascinating? I mean, do you think that we change with the clothing we wear? Do we act differently when we're all dressed up to go to a formal event than we do when we're at home in our sweatpants and sweatshirts? If we put on the garments of salvation, will we be or act differently? I wonder. A story about this. You know, when I was in seminary, I spent a brief time as the dean of housing for the university while they were doing a search for a permanent hire. And while in this job, I was privy to the group that hired students to be security guards on the campus. And it was interesting. We would interview these nice, sweet kids and hire them. Most usually they were young men, but not always. And then the next day, they would get their security officer's uniform, which in every way looked like a policeman's uniform and came even with a billy club. Those boys would walk into that locker room with their street clothes and one attitude and would walk out moments later wearing the uniform of an officer and a very different attitude. And friends, the attitude that came from that uniform was not helpful. Indeed, the culture of these student guards, which was fueled by these uniforms, led to some pretty scary incidents, including one of the guards being arrested for sexual assault of one of the students that he was responsible for protecting. Have you ever noticed this? I mean, that the kinds of clothing can affect people's behaviors in numerous ways. The suggestion in scripture and in our history is that the kind of clothing you wear does indeed impact your behavior. I believe that this is why scriptures are loaded with these images and metaphors of clothing God calls us to wear, because the belief, the assumption, is that we are changed. We are changed by what we wear. So it is, again, Paul calls us to put on compassion, to clothe ourselves in Christ. And here in Isaiah, God gets involved personally and clothes us in the garments of salvation and the robes of righteousness. All this rich imagery and metaphor lead me to ask and wonder about what kind of clothes we're wearing as Christians right this minute. In these swirling days of difficulty and challenges, we try so hard to have some semblance of what passes for a normal Christmas celebration. What I have to ask, are the clothes we are wearing? As the Savior of the world is born, are we clothed in the garments of salvation? If so, what do they look like? Do they fit? Do they have an impact on our behavior as ones who are wearing the clothing of those who have been saved? And when I say saved, please set aside some of our more contemporary uses of this term and grasp that you, that I, that our world is literally in need of saving. And that is more than just nodding our heads in assent to some list of doctrine and church rules. And what about the robes of righteousness or justice? Are we wearing those? Would we even grab them out of our closets if we had a choice? I think as ones who are collectively captives of the wider culture, it's not easy for us to think about putting on the garments of salvation. Maybe that's why Isaiah has God putting them on us himself. Can you imagine being at a clothing store of this kind? Do you have garments of salvation in a size 48? Not sure I like that color. Oh, who else is wearing them in this season? Are they in fashion? Whether we select them or not, whether we clothe ourselves or God clothes us, a fashion sense in this context points to some clear moral choices. This is why we hear about the robes of righteousness. So all this leads us to ask what we're wearing, metaphorically, of course. And to continue our line with our scriptures, with Paul and with Isaiah, have we clothed ourselves in Christ? If so, what's that look like? Has it affected our behavior? Have we put on compassion to such a degree that we ourselves have become compassion? What about these garments of salvation? One has to wonder, what the heck are we wearing? And what kind of clothing do we need for the journey ahead? If we as Christian community set our sights on a renewed and revived ministry, what outfits do we need for this adventure? Will the same old clothes work for the journey we've been on in the past? Probably not. Probably not. If we're going mountain climbing so that we can get a better view of the world, we better get some good hiking boots. If we're trekking across deserts in search of vision and meaning, then we'd better dress for the heat. Now, my dear friends, on this Sunday after Christmas, the question of wardrobe looms large for us as we look at the scene. Shepherds, kings, wise ones all gathered and You have to ask yourself, what are they wearing and why? As we survey the landscape of new life and new hope this Christmas time, it's my prayer that we'll do some prayerful and tough work on figuring out our wardrobe for the journey ahead. It's my prayer that we will give special attention to the fact that we are indeed not stationary. I think that's a tendency we have, is to imagine ourselves in one place. But we continue throughout our lives as travelers, friends, as pilgrims. And sisters and brothers, for the time being, for this present and beautiful birthing moment, as we travel together with the baby God who has the audacity to be born in a feeding trough in this moment, what will our wardrobe be? Like I said earlier, my own fashion sense probably isn't the best. But I hope that with our collective prayer and witness, that we will together choose our wardrobes for the road before us, that we will shed the garments of sorrow and affliction and take up the robes of wonder and joy, that we will discard the worn-out shoes that walk well-known trails and strike out on adventure of creativity and hope with the shoes that will lead us to the gospel of peace. On this day, my Christmas hope is that we will adopt the wardrobe we need to be a faithful people, to move on through this darkness toward the light of the birthing star. So in the wake of wrapping paper and family Zoom calls, I wish you a powerful time of renewal and hope. And when next we gather, sisters and brothers, I'm going to be anxious to see the wardrobes that we have chosen. Amen. Would you bow your heads and join me in a moment of prayer? Well, gracious God, we give you thanks for the precious gift in this season of Christian community. God, for the diversity of personalities and styles and ways of being that pull us together into this multidimensional community of love, we are so grateful and we give you the glory. Teach us in this time how to unwrap this precious gift of community together with gentleness and clarity, with hope and compassion. And God, teach us too to open our hearts to the journey that each one of us are on. For God, there are those among us who are struggling today. There are those among us who find these days of isolation very difficult. Help us to be there for one another, God. There are those of us, God, who have difficulties in relationships and are working so hard to heal and move forward. Help us, God, and we ask you, too, to be there in spiritual power for each one. God, there are those of us who are ill, who have struggled on through surgery. There are those of us who have been infected with the COVID-19 virus, and we are bold enough, God, to pray for healing in this moment. In all things, God, we ask that you bind us together by the power of this child who has been born, by the incredible chance before us to seize new life and to heal our hearts, the hearts of our community, the hearts of our neighbors, and indeed the heart of this world. Hear us as we pray, hold us as we move forward, provoke us by your wonderful spirit, and draw us ever closer together as a community birthed in the name of this child, Jesus. Amen.
Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Tamaki mami mailo malangi, me varoro taikine damuni. Me adamaina nomuni matintu. Me dagana lo mamuni burbura, me pakasa daga mailo malangi. Nisile me viki mami nisingongo na kaka nerutiki mami. Nimbukoda manda nineme miradala. Me pakaki mami sambukoda, uere sa daga dala viki mami. Ika kunikotiki mami gine vere. Kamuni vambuli ke mami maina da. Nisa nomuni na matinitu. Kena kaukaua, kena langilangi, asangani mundu. Amen.
We come at this stage of our worship to a time when we return our blessings, our gifts, our resources to the church for the work of God. And my friends, this church is active in that arena, let me tell you. Your gifts go to help feed the hungry, heal the sick. They go to disaster relief around the world, and we are grateful, even as your gifts help us here in this community. God, we have a special thing this Christmas that we'd like to share, and that is that you could give a donation to the church in the name of someone else. Maybe you have a Christmas gift that you haven't figured out what you want to give yet, but you could make a gift to the church in the name of a son or a daughter or a mom or a dad, and we'll send a card out and let them know that a gift has been given in their name. If you'd like to do that, send your check, your gift to the church, and the names of the people you'd like us to notify, along with their addresses. And on top of that, this is the time, too, when we continue our giving and make our pledge for the church, for the ministry we are going to do throughout the year. If you've already pledged, we are grateful and give you thanks. And if you're still trying to figure out what you need to do there, we're praying for you and are grateful for the choice we know you'll make. Let's take a moment now and be in silence as we summon God's Spirit upon us to open our generous hearts. Holy God, we dedicate the gifts we give to you, whether we mail them, drop them by, however they come. We dedicate them to you as just a symbol and a sign of lives committed to building community, to healing, to wholeness and new life. Hear us, God, as we dedicate these gifts, and hold us as we live lives in faithful adherence to the way you call us to walk. In Jesus' name, amen. These words of benediction. As we go in the wake of this Christmas time celebrating this birth, let us go and select the wardrobe that God would have us wear. Let us allow ourselves to be clothed in the garments of salvation, to pick up the robes of righteousness, and let us go as God's community, celebrating, singing, and leaving healing, hope, and wonder in our wake wherever we go, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.